array of stereotypes all put together in one single program in order to save room for my stripper pole algorithm.
Wonderful!
What? Is there cake?
Hi, this is Nicole Payson from Space Guys in Space, and you're listening to GeekCast Radio Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, what you're about to hear is my interview with the cast of Space Guys in Space. During the interview, Mr. Dave Levine has children, and they made themselves abundantly vocal in this interview. Please enjoy.
In the beginning, there was nothing, which exploded. Then there was the planet Earth, which eventually exploded. Humanity tried to escape this explosion by sending a colony of its best and brightest off into space, but that exploded too. Which brings us to today, where all that remains is a single malfunctioning escape pod, carrying the only known survivors of the human race. Yeah. Humanity is screwed.
This is the internal AI system of the Portapod Praetorian. Here is the official account of the aftermath of humanity's destruction. A story of perseverance, long-suffering, and fabulous hair. It's basically about how I saved the universe. Though some might think it's about the two idiots stuck inside my ship as they struggle not to kill themselves or each other. You decide for yourself. It's about me. Enjoy!
It is Earth date.
Nothing, I guess, right? Kaboom! Well, I'll just make it up then.
Hello and welcome to GeekCast Radio. I am your host, TF2 and Mike, and I have the very special honor of talking to the only known survivors of the human race besides myself, Carl and Stu. Yeah, humanity is screwed. We also have with them their holographic stripper, Gus.
Stripper?
Well, there was a whole thing.
It's one of your programming.
It's one of
the lost episode.
I have so much more than that, which I think we established early on, but...
Seriously, though, I want to welcome Mr. Dave Levine. Hello, sir.
Hello!
Mr. Jason Marsden, who we talked to previously.
Howdy!
And Miss Nicole, is it Payson or Peckent?
It's Payson. It's all Payson, good. That's I would not I have expected okay. you
to get it. I'm a fan of the French Pachent.
Pachent! Interestingly enough, it's not a French name, but I'll go with it. Why not?
Very awesome.
I'm not even sure that's the... how French would pronounce the C.
I'm not sure either.
Yeah, French class wasn't my strongest
suit in
school. Yeah. I actually took Russian in high school, and I can't speak a lick of it. All right, so I have talked with Jason before about his background and all that good stuff. Him being Goofy's son and all that good thing. Let's hear your all's stories. Nicole, where did you grow up and how did you get your start in the business? You're fairly new to acting, aren't you?
Not new to acting, new to acting business, yes. I grew up in Connecticut, which is apparently underwater right now, so that's good. And I went to NYU for acting, actually. I've been acting since I was a wee one, doing mostly musical theater. And then I started doing street acting when I was 15, kind of fell in love with that, decided there was more potential in that than musical theater, and studied it in college, and then was doing theater in New York for a little while, and then came out to Los Angeles 2 years ago. So, yeah, so I'm still, like, ripe. The LA biz, I guess, is the best way to put it. Yeah. Yeah. But I've been acting forever, so.
Very awesome. Yeah. Very awesome. Yeah. The only reason why I worded it that way is because, you know, doing research and going off of the ever reliable internet movie database.
Internet.
You know,
IMDb says that you started acting last week.
Yeah. Well, you know what? So, in truth, IMDb wouldn't be terribly off. I mean, you know, my first professional thing on camera was Any But Me, which was my web series that I did right out of college. So I was 23 when I did that. So yeah, I've been doing. To be honest, I'm a theater kid. I've been doing theater forever. So my theater theater background is bigger, but yeah, I'm new to acting
and definitely not new to web series.
This is old.
The veteran web series performer on this show.
Yeah,
I don't know, Dave. Did you do a web series before this one?
I did one episode. I was a day player web series guy, but that was it.
Yeah, same here.
And that's what I find so interesting about today's, in today's technology society that we live in, where anyone can create a web series that's really, really good. And we'll get into this in a little bit.
Anyone can create a web series.
Well, right.
Doesn't necessarily mean, that's a good point.
Well, I was kind of going to the point of anyone can create content, but it takes geniuses like the three of you to fit funny in 5 minutes in the smallest pod in the universe.
Well, that's very sweet of you.
That is very sweet of you to say.
We certainly had a lot of fun. The genius definitely belongs to Tony Price and Cindy Rice.
Cindy Rice. And,
John Frank Rosenblum, who conceived this wonderful idea, which was different than anything I'd ever seen. So I think giving credit where credit is due. That's what we'll give it to them.
It's collaborative. Yes, exactly. It's all collaborative.
We made it better.
Yes. That's right.
Obviously.
You brought life to the scripts. And Dave, you seem to be quote unquote new to the acting business as well. If IMDb isn't lying to me, you got your start on the hit TV series Charmed. Tell us where you grew up and how you got into the business.
I also grew up in Connecticut. Different part of Connecticut than Nicole did. More like in the thriving metropolis that is called Naugatuck, Connecticut.
Mm-hmm.
I went to college actually to study chemistry and become a doctor. And when I realized I wasn't very good at science, I went into politics for a while. And when I realized that I really didn't like politics, I thought the only thing I liked to do was a lot of different things, and acting sort of lent itself to that. So I went and got my master's at Purdue University in acting, and then from there went to L.A. For a long time, I was big into the non-union commercial world of Los Angeles, and then I got a little walk-on role in Charmed. It was great. One day, it was a lot of fun, and just kind of been out trying to be a character actor day player in L.A. since about 2005.
Awesome. Very awesome.
You guys make me feel lazy. You guys went to school, got your master's, got degrees in acting.
Yes,
and I just...
we're completely lazy compared to
you. Yeah,
lazy.
I know.
Lazy. Coming from a guy who's Eric Patrick's best friend. Yeah. Yeah.
Jesus.
Oh, that's so funny. hi there, Jason, who is not Cyclops' brother. I always have to make that joke because I always assumed...
And it's always funny, too.
Yes.
No, Jason,
when we last talked to you, Space Guys wasn't even online yet. What have you been up to outside of doing Space Guys in Space?
I have been continuing to do some animation and video game stuff and auditioning and, being a dad. And we just bought a house in Tennessee.
Yeah!
So we're going back and forth there. I love Nashville. If anyone from Nashville listens to your show, howdy.
Howdy.
What I find is so funny is I'm about 2 hours north of Nashville in Louisville, Kentucky, and yet you never come visit.
I have never been extended an invite until now, to be fair, and I need a ride.
But no, you've popped up everywhere. I heard you in Superhero Squad Season 2,
yep,
which should so have gotten a third season. You were on Thundercats, which sadly did not last very long.
No, it went with the demise of G.I. Joe. The same thing. The toys did not sell.
Your buddy there, Roadblock, didn't even get his own toy from Renegades.
That's right.
Kevin never got a Roadblock toy. I heard an interview with him on when he was on What's on Joe Mind. He's like, oh, really? They never – oh, that sucks. They never made a Roadblock toy.
I did a cartoon called the Extreme Ghostbusters. It was like, revamp of the Ghostbusters. And and they made a action figure of every character except for mine, because my character was in a wheelchair and they didn't think it was appropriate for little children to be playing with little action figures in wheelchairs. They're actually they're going to go so far as giving him bionic legs, but then they thought maybe that would insult people who are in wheelchairs, they don't have access to bionic legs, or people who just hate Ghostbusters. Word. I don't know.
And then that would come back later in 2011 when Panthro's arms got cut off and he got bionic.
Sure.
I'm embarrassed to say I have no idea what any of you are talking about.
No, it's like listening to an episode of The Nerdist. It's fantastic.
Give another 10 years, Dave.
I know. Like, that's the thing. I'm like, this is my future. I'm going to know all these plot points very soon. I have 14-month-old twins who are actually here listening. Say hi, Max. Say hi. Come on. No.
Hi, Max. Hey, Max.
What I find funny about that is Max is talking to Max.
Not Max Goof, Max Levine.
No, I know, but Max Goof just said hi to Max Levine.
He had such an impact on me.
I want everyone to know that I listened to a Powerline song this morning. I did.
Oh, right on.
I did. Yeah. And it wasn't even in preparation for this pod. It had nothing to do with it, but I was reminded of you, Jason.
Oh, thank you. I always love it when there's an excuse for me to cross up on your mind.
There are many.
I'm glad you're not getting royalties from Powerline songs, Jace.
Well, I don't sing the Powerline songs.
You didn't sing them. Yeah, he wasn't Powerline. That's
the great Kevin character. Campbell, wherever he may be.
Yes. Okay, so if each of you could sum up why you wanted to be actors or actress in one sentence or less, what would that sentence be and why? We'll start with Nicole.
Oh, wow. One sentence. It just felt right.
Good answer.
I don't know. It just felt right. I didn't ever think about it. It's just what I did from the time I started speaking. So there you go.
Awesome. Dave, what about you?
Bitches and money.
That's probably one of the best answers we've ever gotten. Yep. And Jason?
I think I just like attention.
I thought about that too. That was my second.
It's a good one. Like Nicole, it felt right.
All right, so let's talk about this wildly popular series that you all star in, Space Guys in Space. How did this opportunity come up for each of you? Was it something you found out about, or did the producers approach you, Nicole?
Actually, yeah, the producers approached me. Cindy did, and it was very cool. She sent me a Facebook message because she had seen my first series, Anyone But Me, and was actually friends. We had a mutual friend in the whole thing, so she kind of said, I have this really, really quirky role that I have you in mind for, and I know it seems odd because Anyone But Me is a drama and nothing like this show, but I have a feeling like you might be able to play this, and would you be interested in coming in? And I read the breakdown, and I was like, obviously. This is exact, because I'm such a nerd at heart. And I got called in, and I remember so well. Oh, I remember so well walking into that room and seeing Jason, and my heart stopped. I was like, are you kidding me? Auditions are
hard. He's that short?
Auditions are hard enough, and now I have to play opposite someone who I'm trying to place in 10 different television shows right now. Like, it literally, Jason, I was like, oh, no, this is not... You were like a celebrity to me.
Well, you're sweet. You were saving grace when you walked in. You made our hearts stop because you were the only one who got it as well.
It was so much fun. We just had fun immediately as soon as we did that whole thing. And I walked out feeling like, you guys know when you have a good feeling about an audition, you're like, I really want that, and I think it went really well. You know, that kind of sixth sense you have about it, and that's how this felt. It felt right. So it's cool.
And same thing we have with Dave.
Yeah, I for me, I have a mutual friend of Cindy's who told me about this thing, and she kind of got me the audition. But it was like an audition. I didn't know anything going in. I just got a couple of sides, and I come in. I got to be honest with you. Like, I know who Jason was. I didn't really like know. I wasn't a huge fan, but I was like. That's a dude from that's young Billy Crystal from Mr. Saturday Night, and I was like, "Wow!" And we both have big nostrils. I didn't realize that. This is going to be great. And then we proceeded to just have a great audition where I just worked well with him, and he worked well with me. Where I mean, we didn't. We went. The script was like 2 pages, and we probably did about 7 pages worth of improv afterwards. Just kind of.
Oh yeah. I remember you just picking up objects and picking up furniture and just lumbering it around like a child would, like as my son now does, as yours will do. Just that, pick up a bench and just move it, you know, yeah. because
except, they can. Except your son can't pick you up, which is, I believe.
he's getting there, man, I tell you. Yeah, Dave, like Nicole, Dave came in and got the material instantly and had this – brought this like childlike quality to stew and
yeah, I mean,
won us over.
For me, like this has always been Laurel and Hardy doing Of Mice and Men.
Yeah, yeah.
Space. And I've never played Lenny. I've always wanted to play Lenny. When you're a large man, you know, our Hamlet is Lenny. So,
yeah. Nice.
Oh my God. That's
amazing.
That's so awesome.
This for nothing, but they paid me, but I'm glad they did. But I would have done this for nothing because I was so excited about playing this role.
That's so awesome. What about you, Jace? How did you come about knowing about the series and getting involved?
I worked with Cindy and John Frank on an animated film a few years ago, and we stayed in touch. And John Frank called me and said, I got this web series idea. I'll give you the script. You can pick your part. And I read it and was I want to hold that baby now.
I know. Oh,
I know. He's getting great cranky about something. I think he wants to play with the computer. He's like, there's voices coming out of the computer. I want to play with them.
Max, press this button. Press this button. Follow the sound.
Just pressing the button.
Just don't press the end button.
On a side note, I have to tell you, so this is one thing you'll look forward to, Dave. I'm currently on a staycation. I sent my wife and son to the beach for the weekend so I can have the house all to myself. So, I'm here in my underwear with a bottle of bourbon ready to be cracked open as soon as I hang up here.
That's amazing. So,
yeah. So, and I just might go back on Skype, you know, later. No,
online vendor. Out there.
So they gave me the script. I flipped over the script because it was just so funny, and it's very in today's age where, you know, there are so many people making web series and there is so much content out there, it's hard to find really good content. And this really blew me away. It was really smartly written, and I said, yeah, totally, I'd love to play Carl, and I want to be involved as much as possible, and let's do this.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Now, do each of you have a favorite either main episode or short, Dave?
You know, it's so funny. As they were coming out, because, you know, I didn't see them until they came out. I had a feeling I had favorite ones that were written and then favorite ones that came out. My favorite written one was probably Hole Theory. The one.
Oh, yeah.
I just thought that was, you know, I thought we were going to have a lot of fun with that. But I got to be honest with you, Box. That time travel one, that won me over.
Stole my favorite. That's my favorite. Box.
Box came out. Yeah. I love it when you turn all, when Stu turns all aristocratic with the mustache.
I can't envision Stu as a stiff ass Brit. I just can't envision that.
I mean, as being a Doctor Who fan, I just loved being able to play with that. Just to like, for a minute there, that's what the show became for me.
He became Doctor Who.
Yeah.
Yeah, I always prefer to do my time traveling in a DeLorean versus a police box, but to each their own.
There's two types of people in the world.
Yeah, that's right.
At least.
And Nicole, you said he stole yours.
Yeah, Box is my favorite. I mean, but I totally agree with his first statement that, like, it was. I had a different one on the page to then filming to then when they came out. Like, it felt different to me at every stage, sort of, you know? So, like, but I love Box. I think that's my
I agree. I really did enjoy spitting on Jason. That was, that was like one of my favorite episodes.
Love that too, because it's like, it's such shtick and such, you know, slapstick, but it's so much fun to do it, and funny. I would have to prod Dave into like spitting one more time. I'm like, I think there's another spit take right here.
No, like, are you sure?
Yeah, he's like,
if I have any germs, you're gonna have them.
And then rule of three, Dave found like a third place for Spit Take. Totally caught me by surprise. Yeah. And that worked too. And the stuff that he was spitting on me, it wasn't Gatorade, it was like dyed water. It was like with orange dye in it. And my contact lenses that night were orange. I took them out. They were fucking orange. I like Box too. I like the whole concept of it. I like Dave's performance.
Yeah.
As far as shorts go, I love Nicole jumping up and down like a monkey.
I was just about to say, I mean, I can't watch myself do things like that because it's just so embarrassing. But the filming of that was one of the most fun moments in all of shooting for me. Mm-hmm. At least. I'm watching Paige, our script supervisor, cry. Like, oh, yeah. Laughing so hard she was crying.
I got photos.
It was so good. God, that was so much fun. Oh, man.
I think I actually have two. I forget the episode title, but it was the one where, Nicole, you were like, as Gus, you were like, oh, wait, I don't need to do this intro anymore because I'm in the show now.
Yeah.
I thought that was hilarious.
Oh, Tony winking at the audience.
Yeah. And I love, and it's simply because it's Jason and Phil. I love episode 12G. That was just so...
that was fun, too. We liked having Phil Lamar on the set for that, and it's a great role.
No, he came. I loved his little, and he even had that ad lib about being omnipotent. He like corrected the script because I think the script was just.
He's a nerd. You're
omniscient. No, omniscient means I know your name, Carl. Yeah. Omnipotent means I am all powerful. I thought, and he just, and it, like, I mean, he worded it better than I just did. I mean, in an improv. I mean, it was really.
Yeah.
I love that. He's so smart.
So. How much comedy can fit into a tiny pod? I mean, that thing didn't look like it was very big.
It was not very big, but it worked for what we had. Luckily,
kind of amazing.
Do you guys remember where we auditioned?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we auditioned in this room about the size of a coffee table, and that's where they were going to build the set and shoot.
Oh, wow.
And the set would have literally taken up, like,
oh my gosh,
the entire space. You would have had to walk through the set to get to the back, and it would have been a pain in the ass. But we found a soundstage, huge soundstage, where we still built this very tiny set. But yeah, it made the claustrophobia a lot easier.
It was so silly. We were just huge in this little tiny spaceship set with this echoey, voluminous soundstage we're on.
Yeah.
I also think that, like, part of why I love that we shot, well, I mean, I guess this doesn't say anything about the space of the pod, but whatever, because it was so contained, it was one location, it gave us so much material in such a short period of time. Like, having come off of a web series where it's all location shots for the most part, this was like an absolute blessing. And we just had more time to be funny and try things and do stuff because we had one location and that was it. And you could easily set up and everything and then reshoot and whatever. It was great. It was a gift, I thought.
Also, considering we had for 5 days of shooting, so we were able to get a lot of material done in 5 days rather than.
Yeah, it kind of ties into my next question of how daring was it to fit all that acting into such a tiny pod? Because, I mean, such a tiny, you know.
Mike, it was
you
daring. For the Mike, it space. Never done before.
Yeah, that's right.
Daring and well, signed waivers.
We didn't sign waivers, did we? I don't
know. Did we sign waivers? Sign waivers.
Waivers are acting. It was that it's daring.
So much acting.
Yeah. Do any of you have a favorite line of dialogue that either you spoke or that was spoken by each other, Jason?
Don't start with me. I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Okay.
Dave?
What?
Do you have a favorite line of dialogue that either you spoke or one of the other cast members spoke?
I got mine.
Go for it, Jason. Make it happen.
So if you'll notice in the credits, I edited a few of the episodes, and I actually cut the Box episode. And my favorite line, because it cracked me up every time I looked at it, is the third time that Dave takes the box off his head and he's starting to say something. All he does is goes, "Whoa!" That line.
That line.
every time I giggled. It was an involuntary. It was like hitting your knee and your leg shoots up. That was my favorite.
That's awesome. Nicole, do you think of yours yet?
God, this is so hard. I'm like, you gotta see, I'm crouching down in like the bottom of my bookcase right now, hoping to find my script so that I...
Search your memory.
Search my memory. You know, it could have been, I hate to say, like, first of all, I think that all of their lines are funnier than mine. I think that they're funnier than I am. So all of my funniest stuff from there, I think, is like our memories of them doing things. But in terms of the lines I remember best, those are mine. So the stripper pole algorithm line is pretty good. mainly because her, the outbursts that come out of absolutely nowhere were the most fun to play and I think came off the best about the character. So that one line was such a mouthful and was so...
sold it so well with the outrage.
It just worked so well.
The sort of feminist, for lack of a better word, feminist outrage, but saying something incredibly anti-feminist.
Exactly, it was completely contrary to what was going on. It was fantastic. And then, of course, in my head, I'm picturing like the look back over my shoulder right after he tries to apologize, which is paired with that. So, anyway, I'd say that was my favorite line to say.
And now I've just thought of my favorite line.
Yes, go
along those lines. Can I see your boobs?
Are there always two of them?
There are always two of them, too. That's also.
Mike, what's your favorite line?
Yeah.
Tell us.
I gotta say, I love. I really like Carl. This isn't because I'm a super fan of Jason, but I really like Carl when he's going off on Stu of, stop doing that. I need to be able to try to figure out the bleakness of our situation. You know, whatever the whole bleakness of situation line, I love that. I love Gus's outbursts. I gotta say, when I first saw the very first episode and Gus is doing the intro, at first I thought that was Angelina Jolie.
Whoa, hey.
Oh, thanks.
Take it.
Angelina Jolie, blonde and much shorter, with an ass.
But you can't rip
it apart. You know, that hasn't gone to third world countries to adopt a million kids.
No,
But no, just, you know, again, I gotta go back for favorites. It's just the fact that Jason, you and Phil were in episode 12, and just the whole back and forth between you guys.
I also love the twins.
The master by
the twins.
The
guys.
The Albanards. They were so funny. They were funny when we were on set. I was laughing at them, and then when I watched the episode afterwards, I was cracking up. I love that episode.
I like the end of that. He's like, you killed your partner. How are you going to survive? It takes 12 seconds or 10. I was like, oh, wow, they did not do that.
They're just so good. Both of those guys are so good, and they worked really well together. It was
great.
They
had a great guest cast. The Amazons
fantastic. I really enjoyed the guest. And the Amazons, we don't even exfoliate. There was a lot of great little...
Sadly,
we cannot talk about the Amazons because that was the one episode ending that freaked me the hell out. Oh my god!
The vaginas, the scary ones. The scary vaginas. I really feel like Gus could have gotten more involved in all of that. You know, maybe that's just in retrospect.
Our series
now
would have been rated triple X if that was the case.
Opinions of most of our fans, Nicole. I think. I want to say that with every episode, which is true. I mean, you know, that's just the way they're written. I'm sure if we do a second season,
it will be Gus heavy.
Yes, it'll be very Gus heavy.
More Gus. What? I know. I was always telling people, like, I was in describing this, like, oh, it's like it's Laverne and Shirley in space, but it's really Three's Company.
Three's Company, where she's Jack Tripper.
So Nicole has been compared to Angelina Jolie, and now she's being compared to Suzanne Summers. Nice.
Not bad.
No, no, John Ritter.
Actually, no,
John Ritter. Oh! Yeah, that's where I thought we were actually going with that. It's probably more apt comparison than Angelina Jolie.
Hey, Max and Lucy, how are we doing?
Question, Mike. Do these interviews, are they always doing them during diaper changes?
Is that what's going on right now?
No, that's a Geekcast Radio Network first.
Hey. Congratulations, Lucy. Wow.
Oh, dear.
Alrighty then. So everyone has met God. He's kind of cool, right?
Yes, God is very cool. Except that we're an atheist, most of us. Even Tony was specifically wrote it as God with an God. H.
Yeah, that's why that's why I brought up my Bostonian accent. Pa-ka-ka. You say the H.
Dad.
Yeah.
Hey, Dad.
Yeah.
God.
That's how my ex-boyfriend always says that I say it. Gad.
So are there any, is there anything we haven't seen yet that was filmed that is behind the scenes? Any moments during, in between takes that you guys can reveal? Any of you?
Huh?
I love that I'm asking you guys this question. Have all the girl gabs been released yet?
No, I don't think so. I think there's more
girl
gabs.
I don't think so. Yeah, I think that's it. Yeah, because
the potty, I think all the bathroom ones are done. But don't we do something like emails or something like that too, Nicole, where you were accessing my brain for emails or something like that too?
Oh yeah. I don't remember exactly how that, but I recall that.
That's awesome. All right, so
there's also part of it. Oh whoa, did I lose?
Go ahead.
Sorry, I lost you guys for
a lot of content in 5 days. Good grief.
Well, yeah, there was an enormous amount of content, and there was also a lot of improv, and there were things that were used and weren't used. So it's I don't know about you guys, but every time I'm watching an episode, I'm what is this gonna look like? It's a surprise to me too. So I don't know.
That's because we shot this almost 2 years ago now.
Yeah. Fuck. Don't remind me of that.
Two years ago. Yeah, we shot a lot of content. Most of it was reused, and there wasn't really a lot of cut scenes.
Yeah.
Outtakes. I don't think anyone's put together a gag reel or anything like that. That'd be fun to see.
That would be awesome.
I'm sure there's
amounts of hipstamatic photos I took that I should put back on the website. I put them on my website. I should post those.
Yes, you took so many good ones. Yes, I remember.
That's so awesome. All right, so let's kind of flip the script a little bit. Who are some of your all's influences as far as other actors?
Ooh.
You see?
Okay, I will ask the question again. Thank God I can edit this, and it's not live.
Are you not going to keep that?
Oh, you're not going to keep it? Max was saying that he really likes Nicolas Cage.
I was going to go for someone who, yeah.
Well, because he went crazy.
Yeah. I like that. It could be Daniel Day-Lewis, too, but then you got a lot of work.
Or Tom Cruise, or, all Mel Gibson went crazy.
They're all sort of crazy.
You guys.
So in case you guys missed the question,
I got
some of your influences? Okay.
Jason?
No, you said you got it.
You said you got it.
You were like you understood it.
Oh, God. No, I understood it.
Growing up, I liked watching Silver Spoons and You Can't Do That on Television. And those are the kind of shows I wanted to be on. So I guess my influences were Rick Schroeder and Alistair from You Can't Do That on Television. And, man, getting old. You aspire to be as great as Daniel Day-Lewis, but I'll take a good Robin Williams career at any time.
Oh, that's not too shabby.
No, not at all.
Let's see. Any number of people. I was always a really big Tom Hanks fan back in the day. Tom Hanks was really inspiring for me. because he's a fantastic comedic actor and dramatic actor. And in my mind, like, he can kind of do no wrong, and I love watching him, and he's so unique. So I'd probably say, yeah, he's been long-standing favorite of mine.
Have you heard that Nerdist episode with him?
No, I haven't.
No, I will. I'll link you to it afterwards. Please. Oh my god, it was so awesome.
Oh, please do. No, I am behind, woefully behind. Actually, I'll tell you why, because this is a good reason. So I was into the Nerdist like religiously for a while. I went and saw the taping at Comic-Con and everything. Like, really, really into it. And then I found my brother and me. Anyone? Mm-hmm. Do you guys know this podcast?
No, I don't.
Okay.
Sorry.
It's you will know it. It's these three brothers who call in from, I think, Cincinnati, Virginia, and Austin, Texas, and they're all like 25 to 32, and it's a fake advice show. So they pull questions off of like Yahoo Answers and answer them, but they're all such nerds and so funny. And it's like what you imagine, like sitting around their living room and talking to them and having them just crack you up. And that's what this hour-long podcast is. And I listen to it every Monday. It comes out. My brother, and me.
I will add. I've been listening. I got Stitcher Radio on my phone, so I love podcasts. So I'll add that.
Podcasts are amazing. Podcasts are like the answer to LA traffic. I'm gonna go ahead and say.
No that. Kidding.
Yeah.
And riding lawnmowers. If you're in Tennessee.
Yes.
I'm going to excuse myself for 1 second. I have to use the restroom. I'll be right back.
Go for it.
All right, Jace. It's fine.
Or I can take you guys.
No, don't take us
no,
with
I want
you.
To hear the stream.
No, you don't want to hear. Shut up, Stu.
Yeah, I was going to say, I heard enough of that in the pod. Oh, wait, Dave. So, Dave, what's your favorite?
I kind of go all over the place because I definitely did a study and I. Big guys. So I'm like a big Jackie Gleason fan from like the Honeymooners. I love that idea of like losing it, you know, and then being able to bring it back. I love Jack Black. I love the kind of guys that also kind of feel like they're coming up, even though it's like, it, you know, it's a written script, but it all, the, you know, actors who can make it feel like there is no script. It's all about, you know, it feels like it's coming. And it's not necessarily improv, but they actually make written dialogue seem like it's coming across like it's just made up, like Jack Nicholson. Alan Arkin, one of my favorites of that. Feels like an improvisational actor, but I mean he does the script. I mean he's that's how good he does that. I love that kind of stuff. I could talk about, you know, this kind of stuff forever, but yeah, just the idea that you're capturing a moment that's not, you know, it wasn't planned or didn't seem like it's planned. Those are all my, you know, actors who can do that kind of stuff. I like that.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, it's so awesome to see people that just are improvisational and are so good at it. I mean, you know, I was on the Epic Level Facebook page earlier before we started this, and they said, hey, we're going to have a Phil Lamar Day. I know I keep bringing Phil up, but we're going to have a Phil Lamar Day. And they posted the video of him as the old Mad TV video, the sketch with him as Eddie Murphy and Rick James. And I was like, oh, my God.
You know, we know Phil, but we don't watch his programming. We don't know what he does.
What's that inside?
I don't know what you're talking about.
You know, outside of a legend, something, right?
Inside the legend, yes. That's another one.
Another Sidney Rice podcast.
Yeah.
Web series.
Web series, yeah. It's such great stuff that Epic Level is putting out. It's just so amazing stuff. All right, so the current state of Space Guys in Space, episode 16 might be the series finale. Say it ain't so. We need more of this show.
Mm.
Would you... Obviously, you all love doing it, and you all have said, you know, that you want to continue on.
Yeah.
What do you guys want to see happen after the end of episode 16, Nicole?
You mean like in terms of the storyline of the show?
In terms of this, like, episode 16 essentially left us on a cliff, and you know, where do they go from episode 16?
Into the West.
The Wild West.
The Wild West.
Oh, I would love that.
Yeah, that would be kind of amazing, actually.
You know, it's funny because I have like a little bit of a slant here just because Tony has written me a couple times with like ideas. So now I have those in my head, which I will not spill, but some of them get like extremely existential, which is, which you can imagine with Tony. But I think like, yeah, I think it would need to move forward in some sense. Like we can't just continue being stuck forever, but at the same time, yeah, why not? Let's teleport to the Wild West. I like that idea. You know? Because the thing is, like, we talked about while we were filming it, and Tony talked about it. Tony's the writer. We talked to him about it quite a bit, that, like, the possibilities for the show are just endless. Anything can happen in space. So that's kind of my answer, is, like, anything and everything that we could think of, and the more random, the better. Like that's at least my sense of humor. I love it. So I don't know. I think like it would be really fun in any case to get back in that mode and start brainstorming and come up with a whole lot of really random, funny ideas. So
yeah. It'd be interesting if, you know, they ended up in a black hole and space guys from the black hole or something.
I feel like that would have a shelf life of one episode, however.
Yeah. Well, we wouldn't have to build a set, that's for sure.
No, we wouldn't.
Well, I too have talked with Tony and about this, even like before we were done wrapping for the season one. He had a ton of ideas. He had a ton of ideas, and I think I'm a huge science fiction fan, and it's just an untapped resource. I mean,
yeah.
There's a reason why Red Dwarf is going on its 10th season. There's a lot of material that you can do for sci-fi. It's a reason also why Doctor Who goes on interminably and still is successful, or getting most successful in its 40th year. It's because it's a huge onion. Unravel. I'm totally messing up my metaphors here. But yeah, I think I would love this show to keep going. I think it's got a great premise. We really know who these characters are now, and a lot of fun can be happening just being visited by different people, whether it's on a spaceship or if he wants to play. And he also thought about, you know, if we got the budget to get off the ship. I don't know. I just would hate to see this show go away. I really enjoyed playing that character, and I think there's a ton of ways it could go. There's no one way that I care about, just as long as it keeps on going.
Agreed.
Yeah, like just to add on what they're saying, there are ideas being kicked around. They're all great ideas. You know, there's also scheduling. You know, Tony, I think, is wrapped up in other things. I'm hoping he's also writing more Space Guys as well. And the fact of the matter is, you know, there's we want people to watch. So we love for.
Yeah, I've been promoting it everywhere.
Thank you. We appreciate that.
Thank you. Yeah, it's
anywhere that I have full control over something, I've been either linking the playlist that shows all the episodes, that has all the episodes on YouTube in one playlist, or I've been linking the Epic Level website or the Space Guys website or the Facebook page, is because this show needs to live on, people. As I said before, you know, when I was asking the questions of how do you fit such awesomeness, and first of all, in a short amount of time, you know, and not, you know, that and, you know, a short amount of space as well. I mean, take 5 minutes. And that was, it's kind of, you know, it's kind of going back to what I was saying at the beginning of the discussion, is that how can you find people take a web series that is, you know, supposed to be short. It's not an hour long television show. It's not a 30-minute cartoon. It's not this. It's not that. It's 5 minutes. The comedy is just so there. Every single episode, there is something to either laugh at or,
thanks,
you know, raise your brow. It was so great.
Thank you.
Well, from your lips to God's ears.
To God's ears, yes.
Okay. But more importantly, to
do lots more.
To YouTube watchers' eyes.
Yes,
exactly. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yes, yeah, so according please, to the... we hope that if your listeners haven't seen the show, they're going to go and click on it right now and watch. You can binge watch us now because our entire season is on YouTube.
And that's what I was hoping for. I'm hoping that was like I have friends. I mean, I have very close friends who have still not watched Space Guys in Space. And I don't know why they're still close friends. But they always said, I'm just going to wait for it to be done. And I'm just going to watch it from beginning to end. And well, truly, that's how I watch shows too.
I'm literally waiting
for Sons of Anarchy to be over, and then I'm gonna watch it. That's just when it's gonna happen.
You know what I'm doing this weekend? I'm catching up on Walking Dead. I haven't seen season 2 or 3 yet. So
binge watching
country, and that's maybe what people are doing. And you can do that.
I mean, right now, people got shit to do. I mean, I got twins. It's tough to get stuff done. I get it, but. This is a good show, and I think it should keep living on somehow. I really hope
that's the thing. There's not counting the minisodes, not counting the Florm Jams or the Girl Gabs or the Potty Times. The first 16 episodes of season one, they're on average 5 minutes apiece. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
80 minutes. I mean, someone can spare 80 minutes to watch 16 episodes. As I said a second ago, it's not like it's a 21, 22 minute cartoon or a 59, 42 minute, hour long drama. I mean, it's 5 minutes an episode, people. Go watch it.
What?
Hey, I have a question for you, and this is probably something I should ask the producers and not so much the cast, but a lot of friends have said, you know what? I love it, but it's I always feel let down after 5 minutes. It's like, oh, I wanted to keep going because it's so much funnier. And people have thrown, you guys should make him 15 minutes long, and that way you could go on Adult Swim. And I don't really know, but I've always wanted to pose this question to somebody, so I'm going to pose it to
us. Why don't we do longer episodes?
It's a financial issue. It's got to be.
Cha-ching. Partially. That's right. Exactly. Yeah. It's
It could be that, but it could also, just as a fan of the show, I like the fact of, I think, were the episodes released weekly? I forget.
For a while they were.
Right, exactly. So, for me, it's like, okay, 5 minutes. I'm like, wait, that's it? Next episode, next week, get here now. For me, it's more so the anticipation of when you get to the end of episode one and you want to see episode two, and yeah, sure, you got to wait a week when it was in, when it was in production and being released. But no, I honestly don't think longer episodes would be the way to go about
it. Not longer episodes, but releasing episodes twice a week instead of
once. Yeah,
and getting them done in a timely fashion. That's just the way it's done in the popular web series world that I've been researching. I'd never done a web series before, or fledgling one here. And I think post production definitely got in our way because programming or projects right now, they're all really low budget, and a lot of people are donating their time and talents in between mortgage paying gigs.
Sure.
And that's what we had with Space Guys in Space. It was definitely more of a labor of love.
Labor of love, definitely.
Yeah. And once we started, we couldn't stop,
Yep. Exactly. So what's next for each of you? Now, sadly, I'm so sad about this. Jason, I saw on IMDb that supposedly you're going to be voicing Donatello in the 2014 TMNT film.
Oh, you're sad.
I asked. No, hold on. Let me finish. Hold on. I went to Jason and I asked him on Twitter. I said, hey, at Sean Astin, at Jason Biggs, or not.
Is it that stupid James doing this again?
No.
Let him finish, went, Dave. He's got a point.
I went to Twitter and I asked like three people. I forget. I'm actually gonna have to look
Greg
it on.
Sipes, yes. Greg Sipes, yeah. And Sean Astin.
It was you, Sean Astin, and Greg Sipes, and said, hey, is this true? Is this happening that the two of the voices from the current 2012 cartoon plus Jason are going to be in the 2014 film produced by Michael Bay? And Jason said, all true except me. And I was like, no, damn it.
It's Jason. I don't think they're attached to the feature. And in fact, if it's Michael Bay, they probably won't be. No offense to the guys involved, but just how Mr. Bay likes to work, apparently, ruining our childhood by casting people that don't belong. except for Peter Cullen. He did something right there. Talking about Transformers. I'm geeking out. I'm returning back to the point. It's Sean Astin, Greg Sipes, Jason Biggs, and Rob Paulsen are the voices of the Ninja Turtles on the new Nickelodeon show. And I think it was an IMDb error that I was placed in. I'm not doing Donatello. I'd love to, but am
so good.
Well, because according to my information now, this is not, I'm not looking at the cartoon. Yes, I know Rob is Donatello on the cartoon, but according to this, Ninja Turtles 2014, director is Jonathan Libsman, writers are Josh Applebaum, Kevin Eastman characters, and two, you know, other credits. And it says on here, both in the regular IMDb that anyone can get to, and I also have an IMDb Pro account, it says cast Sean Astin, Jason Marsden, Greg Sipes, and it lists you as Donatello. And that's, well, if that's factually incorrect, they need to call you,
Jason.
Yeah,
they need to call you instead of just putting up on IMDb.
They need to fix this.
Oh. Well,
I want to see it. I want to see that Jason Marsden, 2014.
I'm open to it. We shall see. I wanted to be when the Ninja Turtles first came out and the live action feature came out in the 90s. Yeah. I wanted to be not the voice. I wanted to be in the suit. I asked my agent.
One of my favorite teachers, Lucy, is Raphael.
I'm sure the movie isn't going to be very good anyway.
Josh Pice, he's a character actor. You can still see him in a bunch of stuff, but Josh Pice, yeah, he was Raphael.
I'm such a nerd over this stuff. I had followed like the guys who were in the suits, the acting guys, and with the stunt guys, and I was totally all over that. I would love to have done that.
Yeah. What about you, Nicole? What do you got coming up?
Oh dear. All right. So right now, I'm at a little bit of a crossroads because, as I mentioned earlier, I came from theater and I really miss theater. So I'm actually looking at getting back involved in theater and have a couple things that are possibilities, a couple of which that I would be producing or be a producer on, and then others that I've been asked to be a part of. So I can't really say anything about it right now, but that's where that's at, and there's possible travel in that for me. I also am shooting a film in Germany in September. Which will be very cool. So that's like a coming of age film. I play a 23-year-old who's just gotten out of school and is taking like a year in Germany and sort of finding herself and all that. So I'm playing her. Nice. Yeah. So that'll be very cool.
Germany.
Yeah. Just outside of Berlin. So that should be very cool. And then let's see, other than that, it's really like stuff that my friends are producing and want me to be a part of and ideas that we all have. And I also do like quite a bit outside of acting. So a lot, like half of my life right now is being taken up by like yoga teaching and things along those lines. So that's what I'm doing.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And Dave, again, we all know IMDb lies, but according to them, you are in pre-production on Scared Ears. Want to tell us a bit about that?
Oh, sure. Scared Ears is the next. It's being produced by the same people who produced the film I'm currently streaming on Netflix. I'm going to plug it. It's called Absentia. It's an indie horror flick directed by big up-and-comer director named Mike Flanagan. He just wrapped. In fact, I was Lucy. Yeah, okay. We just wrapped in Alabama shooting a movie called Oculus, starring Karen Gillan from Doctor Who, Sackoff from Battlestar Galactica, and Rory Cochrane.
Awesome.
And that's scheduled to be I did a real small part in that. That's scheduled to be released in fall of next year. And Scared Ears, we are scheduled to start shooting that in May of next year. So it's in pre-production. Oh boy, I'm losing everybody.
Awesome.
Did you hear any?
Yes, we heard it. Scared Ears is set for next year.
yeah, but it's a cool. Scared Ears is the big chill meets horror. It's a bunch of group of friends who come together after one of their friends has killed themselves, and the idea behind it is one of the characters did a lot of soul searching and has come up with this idea that he wants to share with his friends about creating an online app to go to different places around the world and that are haunted and go there to do these dares based on the history behind this haunted place. You record it on your smartphone and send it into the app. And I think they're actually going to make that app for the movie as well. So it's this cool little tie-in iPhone apps and movies. And it's just, but it's a fun, typical, not typical, because Mike Flanagan doesn't do much typical, but fun spin on that group of friends get together but into a haunted place type of horror movie. I'm looking forward to doing that. And in the meantime, just going off for auditioning day player character role things.
Awesome. Very cool. Now, where can the fans interact with each of you? Twitter, Facebook, websites, etc. Nicole?
Twitter at Nicole Payson. Facebook, I think it's facebook.com/NicolePaysonActor. And my website, you know, mostly for industry, but whatever, is NicolePaysont.com. There you go.
Cool. Jason?
Jason Marsden at Twitter, and on Facebook, it's Jason Marsden. And but the website, jasonmarsden.com. You know my name, Google me, you'll find me.
Yay!
Dave, what about you?
Actor Dave Levine at Twitter. Mm-hmm. And I have a fan page on Facebook. It would be the one of the picture of me with not without my twins. It's just sort of my headshot.
Oh, cool. Very cool. I would like to thank the crew of the Portapod Praetorian for taking the time to chat with me in this special Geekcast radio interview. Here's hoping we get season 2 to find out what has happened to these brave souls.
Here, here.
And we'll...
Yay!
We'll be right back.
Thank you, Mike.
We talk...
Thanks, Mike.
Yeah, we'll be right back after we talk more with Space Schmucks in Space.
Space Schmucks in Space. That's a good title.
Space Schmucks.
Space Schmucks.
Ooh, the pizza is angry.
You have a problem with how I look? Am I too fat? Is that it?
Must be a glitch in the personality subroutine.
Yeah, we should totally take turns.
A glitch? I'm a glitch now? Is that
normal? Avatar functionality is not working within optimal parameters.
You realize you're in her body, right?
Carl!
I am more than just a body and face and hair and boobs and a hot ass and CPU analytics and a personality culled from what tech engineers imagine a woman is like.
No. No. This is not what I want.
Fuck! I am a complex array of stereotypes all put together in one single program in order to save room for my stripper pole algorithm. And if you can't deal with that, then you don't deserve to see my boobs.
It is a free universe, my friend. And I can do whatever I want.
Actually, it's not a free universe. You and I, everything that exists within it, are bound by physical, unbreakable laws that take a rigorous toll in exchange for our existence.
You have no idea what you're talking about.
Representatives of humanity, you have been summoned here to stand...
Only Two Guys Show. Great. You put an entire species on trial for crimes against the universe, and nobody bothers to show up. You know what? This is just typical. Now I'm going to have to file an injunction.
Who are you? What the hell are you doing on our ship?
How dare you speak to me with such insolence, pathetic mortal. You shall address me as G.
Okay. All right. Wait. Because I'm not going to get blinded by talks of breeding and beer waterfalls again. I'm not going to let it slide.
You expect us to believe in all the possible permutations of life, an alien with technology advanced as yourself just appear at will aboard our ship, happens to look like a human being?
Hells no. I created you in my image.
Oh, you created us. So you're omniscient.
Actually, me creating you proves I'm omnipotent. Me knowing your name, Carl, makes me omniscient. And the G is short for God.
As in... the supreme being.
Actually, my grandfather had it shortened from Godlinstein when we moved here from the Fulugoful dimension. My wife keeps saying I should change it back.
Oh, you should. That's your roots.
Yeah, but I don't know. I'm kind of used to it, you know?
Yeah, I can see that.
I'm sorry. Excuse me. You mentioned something earlier about putting all of humanity on trial.
Oh, right. Yes. For willful and unreasonable trespasses against the foundations of logic and reason, for multiple attempts at self-genocide, and possession of marijuana.
I wish. I'm sorry to break it to you, but All of humanity exploded not long ago, and we are likely the only ones left.
Explode? Wow. Boy, time sure flies in the Omnipotent Gentleman's Club.
Tell me about it.
Okay. Sorry? You know what? Let me make it up to you. Let's say I grant you, the remnants of humanity, a single wish. And then we'll call it square.
Yeah, if you're truly omnipotent, I would love a wish.
Not you. Him.
Him? Why him?
He's a lot less douchey than you, for starters.
It's true. I am.
Very good. Wish granted. Well, guys, catch you on the flippy, and, why don't we just keep this one off the books, huh? No need to involve the fuzz, am I right? Later.
I'm out of here, man!
Where do I stick the Zygo?
Not there!
This is Dave Levine from Space Guys in Space, and you're listening to GeekCast Radio Network.